Welcome back, everybody, to another episode of the JMO Podcast. I'm your host, Taylor Michaels. Our guest this episode, we've got Ryan Pinkala back on the show. We've had Ryan on before. He's down in the metro of Minnesota, and he's one of the co-hosts of the Crappie Chronicles in the wintertime. He does some YouTube and just an all-around fisherman. He's a multi-species guy, and he fishes all over the place. In this conversation, we get a little bit caught up with Ryan just because he's been doing a lot of fishing. I wanted to have him on and just talk fishing. And really quickly in this conversation, it evolved into something, a really cool podcast conversation that I haven't really had any conversations like this on this podcast, to be honest with you, where Ryan is an adventure seeker and he's got bucket list fishing opportunities, on his mind all the time, but he's knocking them out. He's not one of those guys that has a bucket list, of places that he wants to fish or species that he wants to go catch. And that list just sits for 10 years, and he lets all those opportunities go by and gives himself reasons not to go. Ryan's the inspirational guy that will find a way to go, do a DIY destination trip anywhere, whether it's by himself or with his boys or with his dad. And that includes even international fishing. We talk about a Costa Rica trip that he took recently where just book your own lodging, book your own logistics, get there. Do it on a total budget, fish DIY, and that comes with its own challenges and success and reward and adventure, and you just got to set those expectations right. But man, I think that a lot of us that don't, we have these bucket list things on our mind, places that we want to go fish for, species we want to fish for, and we just talk ourselves out of it all the time. And I think one of those big things is the fishing information. I think a lot of us could probably scrounge up the time and resources to go on a pretty fair trip to anywhere in the Midwest or even outside of the Midwest for whatever it is. But, if we're going to go DIY, if we don't have really rock solid information or we're not going with somebody that's been there before, we'll just talk ourselves out of it because we're just worried we'll get there and the fishing won't be good enough and we just won't be happy with it. Well, first, I think we need to change our train of thought and some of that stuff. It's an adventure. We're going for more than just hook sets, and you're just going to have a ball and you're going to make just priceless memories with whoever you go with. You listen to this conversation, listening to Ryan, he's a multi-species guy that is constantly on the go doing destination trips, whether they're not too far away, maybe a few hours away from home, or again, just getting on a plane and going to Costa Rica. But it's all the same. Do it on your own, on your budget, but make it a priority. Go on these trips. Don't wait 10 years to go do something. If anything, it's you just set yourself up for failure because you wait 10 years to go do something you've been waiting and saving up for, and the expectation gets built up so high you almost can't meet that expectation, and before you know it, it's over, when for the last 10 years you could have been going on maybe a little bit smaller trips, at a higher frequency, and you just realize that you're just having a ball every time, everywhere you go. It doesn't matter. It's just, who you're going with, and the memories that you're making are priceless. And yeah, I just think that multi-species destination fishing is, it's something that we need to celebrate more and more. And even if you got to go somewhere and sleep in the pickup or sleep in a tent to save money, but get out and go fishing. Do all the fishing that we're talking ourselves out of, we need to be talking ourselves into. And the other thing with Ryan is he's a tremendous cook. And so we get a couple of great summertime fish recipes here at the end of this conversation. So you got to listen to all of it. And Ryan's got some phenomenal recommendations there. And again, he's got follow along on his social media or his YouTube page. That's Ryan Pinkala. If you read the description, I'll put those links in the description here. But that being said, let's get into this. We're talking multi-species destination fishing with Ryan Pinkala. The fishing opportunities across the state of Montana are phenomenal. If you're from there or you've already been there a bunch to experience it, you know just how special these opportunities are. If you haven't, fishing out west should absolutely be on your bucket list. But aquatic invasive species like zebra mussels and Eurasian water milfoil can harm recreational opportunities. As boaters, as anglers, we have the ability to help protect Montana's waters by cleaning all mud, plants and debris off our boat, recreational equipment, and fishing gear before we leave any access sites. Drain the water from your motor, your live well, your bilges, and allow your boat and equipment time to dry before your next outing. No matter what watercraft you use, please, if you're traveling in the state of Montana, stop at all inspection stations. Together, we can protect Montana's waters. Visit the link in the description of this podcast for more information. That's fwp.mt.gov/AIS. What's the update, man? I'm sure you've been going on some adventures. I follow along on your social media well enough to know that you're always doing something a little bit different. I'm kind of excited to get a little bit of an update from you in that regard, man. Go ahead.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, seriously. It's like ice season ended. I think we chatted maybe like kind of towards the end of the season, if I recall. And like, yeah, I mean, once that kind of wound down, it's like just kind of taking a deep breath, you know, for a little bit. Since we kind of go kind of crazy all winter long. And I think I maybe had like a chill pill for like a couple weeks. And then stuff started cranking up right away. There's a few bites that I like doing kind of like early in the season. So I've been kind of like cherry picking what I feel like should be the most fun and just doing that rather than just kind of like getting on a grind of something and then just like beating it to death. So I think, yeah, I did. I've been kind of past handful of years doing like the Mississippi River pike fishing thing in the spring, catching like pre-spawn pike open water. It's like it's a border water area or whatever that was open. So I did that whole thing. It's like right at kind of ice out. So a lot of the places are kind of hard to access, and did some like open water kayak fishing down there. Like, I mean, this must have been like end of February, early March. Like it was definitely a lot of people still ice fishing, but made that happen. And it was fun. It wasn't super good. I mean, anybody that spends any kind of time on the river just knows like the water levels fluctuate so much, and like year to year those bites kind of come and go.
Yeah.
And like this year was definitely not a banger, I'll say that.
That's got to be interesting though. I mean, I guess I didn't even know that, you know, I didn't even know that you did that. And you got to think like that time of year, that's kind of one of those sneaky, probably under the radar ones, even, you know, when it's good, especially because it's like, that's that time of year where all the, you know, all that river walleye fishing is all the craze, right? Like the Rainy River's happening, then all the Green Bay tributary stuff is happening. Then it's like, if you're not a walleye angler, you're nobody. But that's got to be one of those sneaky good ones.
Yeah. I mean, I would say, you know, like I said, it's very water level dependent, but because I think it's cool because it's one of the only places that you can target pre-spawn pike. Like,
yeah,
literally during the spawn, they're the biggest that they're ever going to be, like, that you could catch one. I mean, they're insane. Like, some of the ones that I've caught there, I mean, I think my past three, you know, PB pike were all on that bite. And they're just incredible. Like, the genetics in the Mississippi River is just craziness. And they just get so built. They're so big. They have all the egg weight in them. They're super aggressive. So when it comes together and you get in, like, some of these spawning areas and, you know, they show up hundreds at a time. Like, you know, some of our best days were like 150 fish in like a morning, just kayak fishing, you know, and catching, you know, fish over 40 inches every day that you're there. It's just, it's like mind blowing when it goes down. And then being in there when it's like not going down is like the craziest feeling too. So it's like, cause you know, it's like any day they could show up, and, you know, we try to target them kind of on the full moon. Usually the whatever full moon lands end of February or like early to mid March is usually when it kind of goes down. And it just was one of those weird years. Water was low, kind of going into winter, and they just didn't have the, I think a lot of fish just couldn't get to some of the spawning areas. There's a lot of sandbars in the river right now and some of the backwater channels and stuff. And it just kind of get boxed out. They still do it. I haven't found all the little key places way, way back that are hard to get to yet, but yeah, so that was kind of like my first open water venture, I guess, of the season. But since then, yeah, just kind of been like, man, chasing all kinds of stuff. I mean, I know we talked last time about kind of like some multi-species stuff, but that's kind of my jam, is, you know, going after one species of fish for a couple weeks or when a bite's hot, and then just transitioning something else right away. So lately, it's definitely been more of like a bass fishing kind of thing, but been chasing around some muskies. I just literally yesterday got home from a trip over to Lake Michigan, chasing trout and salmon over there. And I think that was the second trip this spring. I went there once in May too. But I just like mixing it up, you know. There's just so much out there, and I feel like there's just like never enough time to do it all. So I'm just like constantly like, what's the next thing? What's the next thing? Trying to game plan. So yeah, I don't know. It's been kind of a whirlwind. I'm sure I'm missing a lot of stuff there. But yeah, I did one international trip that was really cool. I used to do, I think, way more of those than I do now, but I'm trying to get more. I just love it so much. Like, I go and do one finally again. I'm like, oh my God, I've been like missing out on this for, you know, way too long again. So, that was fun to get back into that.
And where'd you go?
I don't know. So that was to Costa Rica.
Oh my gosh. Yeah. That sounds exotic.
Yeah. I was, like on, I guess it'd be like the northwest. Yeah. Northwest corner of Costa Rica, just kind of south of the border of Nicaragua there. Just like a very DIY trip, went down there with my dad and we had a great time. Kind of a shorter one. I think those type of trips, we try not to do like super long ones. Cause they, I don't know, it depends. Like if the fishing is really good, it's cool. If it's like not good or, you know, things are not going your way, it's like, it's tough to get stuck somewhere for a week and not be like really on something good. So, we were down there for like, I think it was like a 4-dayer, which was pretty fun. And it was like, you know, catching a lot of different types of fish, you know, I mean, a lot of those saltwater trips to like, I guess like other countries too, are like, you know, there's a little bit of everything going on all the time. And this one was more, you know, we caught a lot of like big jacker ball, some snapper and mackerel, stuff like that. We wanted to get on like a tuna situation. It just really wasn't going down in the area we were in that we ended up going to, which is fine. I mean, you just kind of got to feel it out as you go. If you feel like those type of trips or like any of these, it's like you go in with this mindset of like, here's what we want to do, and then you like can't do it or it doesn't come together, the voice not good, it's kind of hard to like come back from that.
Yeah.
So you kind of just go with the flow, I guess, on that deal. But that one was cool. I don't know how much we want to get into that, but
it's interesting you bring that up. And I'm sure there's more trips. We could just do this whole podcast like this. But one thing that I find interesting with guys like you, and there's not a ton of you out there that do it a lot, like destination multi-species angling. You know what I mean? Like, you know, maybe you realize it, or, you know, maybe your perspective is a little different, but there's, you know, there's a lot of, you know, like we talk about it all the time on here, you know, highlighting destination fisheries, but, you know, a lot of people probably that do the most destination, you know, type fishing, especially here in the Midwest, but even like you're talking internationally, it's like, usually it starts with some kind of like singular passion of like a species, you know. It's like, I love walleye so much that I, you know, beyond my own home body of water, I'd like to go to a bucket list place to catch big walleye somewhere. Or if you're a bass fisherman, you like to, you know, whenever you can, like experience like these marquee or like capital, like bass fisheries or whatever. But to be like a traveling, like vagabond angler, like a nomadic angler, but with that multi-species element, and then do it, you know, on a high enough level, like I feel like you definitely do, is, and you're a young man too. It's like, it's pretty impressive, but it's kind of intriguing. Like I have so many like questions about that. And I think a lot of people would like, how do you decide to go on these trips? Like, what is it that just like hits you one day? You watching like a program on TV and you see somebody down in Costa Rica and you're like, you know what? I'm going to plan for that next month. Or like, how does that even, like if even just something like, you know, going to like Michigan for the salmon trout deal, like how do you gather that type of inspiration and information and then like plan for those trips? I'm just like curious.
Well, I guess it varies a lot depending on like the scale of it, right? Like going to Lake Michigan is a lot different than like going to Costa Rica.
For sure.
Especially, you know, I guess it's just like, you know, getting charged up about something and then just like figuring out like, okay, like how do I actually do that? Because like, I suppose you could just book, you know, a trip with a charter captain somewhere and just go. And like, I guess that's one way to do it. I don't, I never really got into that, or I've never really done that. So that's not, I guess, really my style, but definitely more like the DIY side of like figuring out like logistically, like how do I make this happen? Like what type of gear do I need? Like that type of thing. So I just have like a ridiculous amount of stuff that barely gets yeah. used, right? Because it's fair enough. You have it for these like a couple of trips, right? And it's like, okay, like I'll go and do that again, but it's like, it's not something I'm doing like every couple of weeks, right? So it's like just acquiring gear like every time you go somewhere, and eventually you have enough stuff to feel like pretty confident, like, okay, wherever I go, I have what I'm gonna need. Or, you know, I've probably tried every like travel rod available on like Amazon or whatever that you can like get on an airplane or whatever.
Oh yeah, I'm sure you've had some real winners there.
Oh yeah, for sure. And but I think like it probably comes down to just like, I don't know, I think getting into it is hard because it's just like, oh my God, this is going to be like crazy expensive and stuff like
yeah,
that.
Yeah. It's really intimidating. I think that's kind of what I'm getting at is like, you know, for the average person, it's like inspirational to watch stuff like that on YouTube and watch outdoor programming and to see these exotic trips happen. But like,
yeah,
but you do it all the time. I imagine you've gotten good enough at it that you probably do things, you know, a lot cheaper than going somewhere for 4 days for and sure. renting a yes. charter and all that. Yeah.
Yeah, for sure. And I mean, it's not always like the best outcome either, right? Like doing it that way. I mean, yeah, you could jump in with somebody and be paying a lot of money, and they'll definitely probably be dialed and have all the right equipment and stuff. But like some of these other ones are more of like an adventure because you don't really know what you're getting into, but most of the time it ends up shaking out pretty good. So like, you know, I guess I'll start with like, you know, like the Lake Michigan one, right? Like I guess I just kind of got into that really early. Like my family used to live in Milwaukee, and like, so I got, my family's always been into like salmon fishing out there and stuff. So I kind of cut my teeth on that super young and just kind of had that like addiction or whatever. And then you know, now like I'm living in Minnesota now, and I guess for a long time it was like, oh man, I wish we could like get back over there more and like do it, but it just seemed like, oh, it's kind of far, right? But then I start thinking about like some of these places, and I'm like, man, like from my house now to be over there is like 5 hour drive, you know, 4.5-5 hours. And I'm like, I mean, that's like an after work rip and you're there for the weekend, you know, kind of thing.
Yeah.
So it kind of just like perspective, like, oh, it's more attainable to just like go there. Well, like, okay, but you still have to like have the gear. So, you know, that type of stuff, just like acquiring, you know, getting enough for like, you can go over there and troll, right? Getting all the right equipment and that, and kind of knowing what you're doing. But I guess that one's for me, just like I've been doing it like for a long time. So, you know, now like having my own boat and stuff, getting that all set up to do it, and, you know, getting all new like rods and the whole thing has been a whole process. But I just, yeah, I mean, that one's easy. And like that type of trip's awesome because it's like, even if you don't have connections over there, like, oh, I don't have like a place to stay or do any of this, like, man, I love going over there and just like, you can rent a transient slip at pretty much any marina, like on the Wisconsin side of Lake Michigan. It's like cheap, and like literally just like go there and, you know, I've slept on the boat and a sleeping bag on the dock, you know, so you can leave your boat in the water and just crash or
right
truck camp it in the parking lot kind of thing. And there's some cool ones, like, you know, I fish a lot out of like Milwaukee and Sheboygan, and like that, you know, the Sheboygan one is sweet because they have, you know, I mean, these are all like little things you find or whatever, like that one, you go there and you rent the slip and they have like a little, I mean, they have like a little inside spot. You can just crash. They got showers, the whole thing. They got a pool, hot tub, all of it. Like, you just literally pay to put your boat on the dock and hang out and use fish all day and hang by the pool, and it's chill. So like that type of stuff, like finding little spots or figuring out places you can crash in your truck. Like I would say most of the trips I do are not glamorous.
Yeah, but that's right? Kind of the beauty of them. I mean, you've said it already a couple times. That word adventure is like, you know, if anything else, you're not necessarily looking for, you're not solely looking for hook sets somewhere else. You're looking for some of that, exactly. But it's an adventure that you're going through. I love it, man. I love all that. And the fishing, like if you don't have connections somewhere for fishing information, like if you were to go somewhere like that, like, you know, I mean, you just talk to some bait shops. I mean, the internet's obviously a crazy place, right? But like for like real, like, for like real information, you know, like some of us buying gear or acquiring gear, maybe borrowing it could potentially be really, really easy. But the real intimidating part, and lodging even, is not tricky but like the fishing element, like where do you drive out on a place like the Great Lakes? Like where do you go out on Lake Michigan and start, you know, salmon fishing, yeah. You know, if you don't know nothing about it and you're just looking for that adventure with your buddies. Cause it all sounds, honestly, it sounds great to me. Like, dude, seriously, you know my phone number. Next time hit me up, bro. Like, yeah, I love it, but sure, I wouldn't dude. Know, but I'd be dead in the water. Like literally, you know, pun intended, like if it were come down to like fishing information though, like how would you go about acquiring that?
Yeah. So, I mean, like you said, there's a lot of stuff out there on the internet, right? Like you can jump on Facebook and there's like, I would say most fishing destinations like worldwide, there's some sort of fishing page or something you can find, you know, you can poke around and find some info, but it's like, it's never as good as like real time, like talking to somebody who's been fishing. And I think that's what you'll find with like all this DIY type stuff. It's like, you still got to figure some stuff out.
Right.
And that's kind of what like I get off on, right? Is like, I could absolutely just book a charter and just like go somewhere, like anywhere probably. And have a great time, but like what charges me up is like going there and like bringing my own gear and like doing it myself and not just like going and jumping in somebody else's boat and like be like, take me fishing.
Yeah.
So there's info available. I've always found like a trip like that, like, you know, I go for maybe like 3 days, like a long weekend type of thing. And like, I'm just going to bank on one day totally sucking. Like, I'm going to go out there and get my teeth kicked in and like, probably have nothing to show for it, but those are probably the days when like I get the most info, because it's like I'll go out there, especially like fishing the Great Lakes or any saltwater place too, is like the same kind of deal. It's like you go out and it didn't go well or whatever, and you come back to the dock, there's like you coming in, all the other boats are coming in, and I just start trying to chat people up or figure out like, you know, how deep are you guys fishing, or what, are you catching on spoons, flasher flies, or like what type of bait are you using? So it's like, you can get info from, you know, tackle shops, stuff like that. But just talking to other anglers is like, seriously, I think the best way to do it. Cause there are guys that are out there. And usually if once you're there, cause that's the thing with like the internet, right? It's like everyone goes on Facebook and like everyone's trying to get info before they ever went somewhere. But like, if you're there, like I'm literally sitting here and I'm like, dude, I got my butt kicked today. And I don't know. Like, people are usually pretty willing to share some information with you.
Yeah.
You know, and that type of thing. Cause it's like, I'm already there. I'm doing it. And I'm like, you know, I just think there's like an aspect to that. That I think people just want everything figured out before they show up. And like, people are kind of reluctant to just like give up spots or give up info. But when you're standing there talking to somebody on the dock, you know, and like, I'm standing in my boat and I'm just like, man, like, are these the baits you would be running? And they're like, oh, absolutely not. Or, you know, whatever.
Yeah.
But, and then you start putting pieces of the puzzle together. So I do like, you know, going back to places too. Like if you start going to a destination spot or something and, you know, you learn more every time. So it's nice to like revisit these places and you're a little more dialed in every time. Like, you know, okay, I know where to go. I know where to get food at, like all that stuff. But,
oh yeah.
But yeah, like the Lake Michigan stuff's fun. I just love it because it's just like such a meat run fishery. Like, you know, I like to cook and like that type of stuff. And like going over there, it's like, you know, everything's going in the box, man. Like we're clubbing trout and salmon or whatever. So that's cool. But yeah, like I guess that, like the either international like saltwater stuff. I think for a lot of guys, like freshwater fishing, it's like, I don't know if people just feel like it doesn't like correlate to like salt at all, or like that you have to do something like dramatically different. I mean, that's not the case. I mean, I definitely like use different gear, right? Like bump up equipment and some of that type stuff. But I think the tactics are pretty like useful, especially for places like Costa Rica, right? Like we went there, and I guess I'll just give you like a super quick rundown on how this played out, but we rented like a dirt cheap Airbnb that was like close to the beach. So basically we found this town, found a little bit of info that it's like there was some fishing to be had there. Cool. Booked this Airbnb that was close to the beach. We ended up getting in with like a local, I mean, I guess you could call them I wouldn't even consider it a charter captain. They're like a lot of like beach towns in like Central America. All these people have pongas. It's like a 25, 30 foot tiller with like a 50 horse motor on it. And they're just people like, whatever you want to do, they'll just like take you out. They're just like watermen. Like, you want to go snorkeling, you want to go beaching, like, you just get with one of these guys. They have this boat, they'll take you and do whatever. And they're usually like super cheap. You know, like, you go down with a charter captain out there, it's going to be, you're talking like $1,500, $2,000 a day type of thing. For like a lot of saltwater trips, that kind of thing, for like a smaller boat. I think we were getting in with these Ponga guys for like $200 a day.
Yeah.
So, you know, if you got a couple people, because you could take, you know, four people on these boats. So it's like for $50 a day, you can be on a boat and like go offshore and like fish. But
yeah,
most of these dudes are like not dialed when it comes to fishing.
The fishing opportunities across the state of Montana are phenomenal. If you're from there or you've already been there a bunch to experience it, you know just how special these opportunities are. If you haven't, fishing out west should absolutely be on your bucket list. But aquatic invasive species like zebra mussels and Eurasian water milfoil can harm recreational opportunities. As boaters, as anglers, we have the ability to help protect Montana's waters by cleaning all mud, plants and debris off our boat, recreational equipment, and fishing gear before we leave any access sites. Drain the water from your motor, your live well, your bilges, and allow your boat and equipment time to dry before your next outing. No matter what watercraft you use, please, if you're traveling in the state of Montana, stop at all inspection stations. Together, we can protect Montana's waters. Visit the link in the description of this podcast for more information. That's fwp.mt.gov/AIS. You gotta embrace that adventure, right, man. You gotta be kind of sick in the head and love to burn a couple of days to the ground learning stuff.
Here's a great like example of just like, so these guys, you know, they're locals, and we booked with these people, like, hey, we're going to go out on your Ponga thing. And this lady was kind of like running the show, like she was booking the thing. Okay. Well, the captain of the boat was the dude, and his son was like the mate on the boat. Didn't know this till we got there, but neither one of these guys spoke a word of English.
Oh, no.
Okay. So that was like total wild card, right? Like, you're jumping in a boat with two guys that literally don't even speak the same language. And now we're trying to like communicate about fishing, right? And you're like, oh my God, like, how is this going to work? And so initially, and we're planning to fish these guys for 2 days. Okay. And so the first day we got there, we just shore fished. Like, so whenever we go places, I usually have travel rods with me no matter where I'm going, even if it's not on a fishing trip, just cause like whatever.
Yeah.
But, you know, just like bring a surf rod with. So it's like, okay, even if you're not like doing something, you can just go down to the beach and like fish from shore all the time. But you kind of have to have the right gear. So it's like, you know, like a 9 or 10 foot surf rod, and most of them you can get for pretty cheap online, and, you know, throw them in your bag and fly somewhere pretty easy. So it's like, yeah, we shore fish for a day. We're catching like mackerel and stuff from the shore. Nothing crazy, you know, ladyfish, stuff like that. It's just kind of fun. And then, we jumped on the boat with these guys, and, you know, they kind of have their idea of like what it means to go fishing, right, for a day. And most of the time their gear sucks. I mean, a lot of these local guys, they have like no money, right? I mean, they're captains, right. You pay them, but it's like, these guys aren't making a lot. So like, I don't know. It's like you jump in and you never know what you're getting for gear, or like if they're lying. Like we've gotten on somewhere, it's like, they have nice rods and like some of the reels are good, but like they don't even have their line is all chafed, or they have like no line on the reel, stuff like that. Great, you know, stuff you wouldn't even think of. Like, and so we've gotten to the point now where it's like we pretty much always are traveling with like extra reels, because it's like, you know, you get on a boat, at least they're gonna have rods, but like their reels suck, you'd be like, we're using ours or whatever.
Yeah, good. That's so quality we went down there, recommendation there.
Yeah, like always bring your own reels and stuff. And that's the weird thing. Side tangent. But so a lot of places, especially in like Mexico and stuff, they don't let, this is like probably more info than most people care about. But like, so like you have like rods, like fishing rods. Most like those travel rods, they're made to like go fit in like a carry-on type bag or whatever. If you put them in there, they will take them from you at the airport.
Oh.
Coming home in Mexico. Like you cannot come home with fishing equipment from Mexico in a carry-on bag. They will just take it. But you put it in like a check bag, they'll like chill with that. I don't know. It's messed up. But anyway. So, but it
sounds like they're just stealing from you.
Oh, for sure. Yeah.
Oh my God.
No doubt. Yeah. But anyway, that's like a thing. So if you ever do that, but, we go down there, we bring all our own gear, and we kind of had this idea of what we wanted to do. So like Costa Rica is like known for like having pretty legit shots at like rooster fish, big jacks, like very close to shore, like along all these like cliffs and stuff. And that was like what we wanted to do. Like in our mind, we're like, we want to target like that type of bite. And so we brought our gear for that. We brought like, you know, like big spinning rods, like surf type casting rods, like big poppers and stuff. We're like, this is like what we want to do. Of course, we get on the boat with these guys. They want to like go bottom drop with like chunks of squid on like some reef somewhere. And we're like, all right, we'll play this game for like a little bit, but like we got to figure out how to tell these guys like that is not what we want to do.
Yeah.
And so we went and we, you know, played their game, right? Because you're like, okay, these guys are from here. Like maybe they got some good, you know, stuff or whatever. So we're like, we'll do what they want to do. So we go out, we go to these spots and we're catching fish, right? But they're all these like tiny, like 8-inch little groupers and stuff, which are like, they're cool fish. Don't get me wrong, but I'm like, this is not it, man.
Yeah.
you know, and so kind of for like an hour, we're like trying to like communicate, like we want to go do something else. And it's just like it was a mess, honestly. But eventually we figure out like, so we start pulling out some of these other rods and putting them together, right? And we wanted to fish with poppers. Well, and the guy started, he was like into that. He's like, oh, popper. We're like, okay, he knows what this is. This is good.
Yeah.
And so we just started like pointing at like cliffs we wanted to go by. We're just like, go over there, man, you know. And eventually we pull into a spot and we start hawking these big poppers and we start getting blow ups and we're catching these big jacks and these guys are freaking out. Like they are loving every second of this. Right. And so then we basically convinced them now to just like do this. And so, you know, we're bopping around doing that. And we told the lady, we're like, hey, if there's a shot at like a tuna situation, like we want to go do that because they're on the radio, like all these guys are chatting with other captains and stuff. And long story short, there was some communication that the people were catching some like blackfin tuna, like small ones off of this little area, and we were able to work through the language barrier to be like, let's go do that. Well, we had no gear for that. They absolutely had nothing for this. So what ends up happening is like we're running this pog around, standing on the bow with a surf rod with a popper, and we're like chasing these schools of tuna around. Just like the guys were like driving. They were not like eating big bait at all. We kind of identified like, man, we're like seeing the bait they're chasing. It's like all these tiny little like 2-inch long things. So of course we're digging through like, oh, what other rods we got? Oh, my dad's with, and he's got like a walleye rod, like a spinning rod, like 6-pound test on it. And we were just using for like catching bait and stuff, you know, from the beach. Ties that up with like a walleye jig, like quarter ounce jig with a grub on it. We roll into this tuna school, first cast in there, loads up on one. And he fights this thing. It just rips like half the line off the reel immediately. But, you know, we're like casting these like walleye jigs around, like getting tuna bites, you know, standing on the bow of this pond or running around the ocean. So it's like, and these guys have like no idea what's going on. They're geeking out just as much as we are. So I like, there's a lot of stuff that works that, you know, for like everything that you can just do anywhere. But I think if you could go anywhere in the world and you have like spinning rod and like a jig, like you're getting bit.
Like, yeah, I mean, you guys are like putting the puzzle together, just like you're putting the pieces together, just like you're doing a Tuesday nighter in bass fishing. It's just a 2-dayer in Costa Rica. Like you just go there and put the puzzle together, man. Just I see. That's the thing that it sounds so absurd and exotic, and sure, it's gonna cost you a plane ticket. It's gonna cost there's a gamble involved because you could crash and burn at any element of this. Like, your gear can be taken at customs, going into it, in an airport. Like, you can have all those like travel issues and logistic issues. Like, that's going to get better over time. And realistically, there's probably more information out there, good information out there for that sort of stuff to avoid problems with the logistics and stuff like that. But it does, I think, for a lot of anglers, even if they're just talking about traveling 3 hours from home to fish, walleyes or bass, like a species that they're totally comfortable with, it's still like that fishing information, is intimidating, I think.
Yeah. But like, here's the deal, right? Like, I think fishing trips in general, because it's like that type of thing, like doing what we do or those type of trips, it's like they always have the best stories for sure. Like, crazy stuff always happens that you are not expecting. Like, if I was just gonna like book a charter, go stay at a resort and fish every day, I would probably catch a lot more fish and that would be cool. But like, I don't know, there's like some satisfaction about like doing it yourself and like doing that aspect of it. But like, I don't know, for me, like, especially like traveling to fish, even if it's just driving 3 hours to go catch walleyes or like chase muskies around somewhere, is like, you kind of gotta love like the experience, not just like the catching fish. You know what I mean? Like the actual like going somewhere to like a fishing trip or like just to be like an angler traveling around. Like, you gotta kind of embrace like the local vibe too when you get to a spot or, and just kind of feel out what's going on. Cause like I said before, you go in there with like one thing in your mind and it doesn't play out that way. Like, then you kind of like have that, your whole thing planned around it going that way. It's like, man, you can get bummed out pretty quick doing that like over and over again.
Oh,
but
yeah.
You never know. You stumble into some cool stuff every once in a while too. So.
Oh man. Yeah. And the adventure, like you said, the stories are going to be epic. It's like it definitely select, if you're going to go with buddies, family or friends, make sure first and foremost, you should probably like write a couple chapters or do a couple Instagram stories on how to select good buddies that you'd do a trip like that with.
Because there's
probably something for sure to that too. Like, man,
there is.
We were really good buddies, at home when we hang out this much. And yeah, we have like two beers in the garage and then we both go home. But as soon as you spend 4 days in a foxhole, no shower and like you learn a lot about people. But man, I love those stories, man. I think a lot of people, even if they're not doing it or they're inspired by it, it's like, man, I would love to promote that. I think that just the idea of like attacking an adventure, just going for it with an adventure, if it's a father-son thing, like you in Costa Rica going with your dad, that's so baller. I'm sure it's not your first one. You probably grew up doing that. Like, I think like that would be the ultimate thing, right? Is like, you got, like if you're a dad looking at your boy, you're looking for an adventure and you're going to learn so much, you learn how to, keep your gear close so ain't nobody taking it. And, you're going to learn how to, you're going to have all those pass and fail experiences with different hotels and Airbnbs. And you learn all kinds of life lessons for sure, man. But
you
the
just
fishing
start
is
with
cool.
One. You got to start with one and go after it. Like, I think that's kind of like, growing up with my buddies around here, it was just like, it wasn't on that scale, but it was like, we would just like ride bikes to like a different pond. Oh, we never even been to this one. Are there even bass in here? Like, that's how it started. Right. And it's like elevated to like, let's go like on a more substantial trip or whatever, but it's like the same type of thing. Right. It was just like gambling and just burning a day to see what was going on in the place, So I think when you kind of look at it that way, where it's like, it doesn't have to be extreme, like right away. Like, you can try something and just like pick one, go all in on it. And like, maybe it's cool, maybe it's not. And then like either go back there or pick a different spot and, just start like checking stuff out. But you know, next thing you know, you've been to 10, 20 places and like you got a pretty good handle on some of these things and like logistics, how to go places, how to get gear there, how to get fish home, how to do the whole thing, you know?
We have these bucket lists in our mind and we just never do it. We just, you know, it's like we know that we want to do these things and we just decide never to do it. And I think, you know, the finances or the logistics is certainly one, you know, you can save up for all that. But the fishing information and how good the fishing might be for yourself is a big one. You know, it's never better now than it is now, you know, with the internet and all the information shared. But you're right. You're never going to get as good of information until you get there. So you got to pull the trigger. You got to pull the trigger. You just got to go, man. I think that is like such that's the backbone of any show that I've ever done where I'm highlighting a fishing opportunity that is for people to either travel to or just get out of their own lane to get, whether it's highlighting a little lake, a little unknown lake where you got to look up stocking reports and it's 30 miles from where you grew up. And you just never been there before, but new water scares you. Or if it's a legitimate like destination like Fort Peck or the Columbia River or Lake of the Woods, you know, talking to the walleye guys. But this sort of transcends this conversation kind of transcends whatever species we're talking about. I like that I'm highlighting that, you know, you're the multi-species guy and it's like you're like the ultimate multi-species. You fish bass and panfish and muskies and, you know, pike. I mean, like leave no stone unturned for you. But that's I can appreciate a lot about that. And really the idea is, you know, whether you're happy, whether somebody's out there listening to this and they're happy just, you know, liking one thing, that it still applies. Like these, we all have bucket lists for whatever. You just got to go. In the end, it's like pick a sweet destination, get your best squad together. You know, I mean, I'm sure you've done plenty of solo trips too. I mean, don't forget that, but, you know, sleeping in the pickup and all that. I mean, gosh, that's good stuff too, but like get out and go get after it, man. I love it.
Well, like the one thing that I always like, I have a bunch of buddies that, I won't directly call them out, but Sam Sobey directly, that it's like, you know, I invite other buddies on a lot of these trips too. And for a lot of them, it's like a little bit too overwhelming to just drop everything, like do something like that, which I get, but it's like, man, you know, it's like, then you go and you have these other buddies and like, you guys should have been there, dude. It was wicked, you know, or whatever. And it's just like trying to get a good, like you said, a good squad of people and just go do it. But yeah, it's just like being addicted, I guess, to like the fishing and the angling and just going and trying to learn some stuff. And like there's bites that I've still never done that I've been on my list for like my whole life. You know, like I swear I've been to like six, seven different like places chasing like some crazy like, man, we're going to get into the tuna on this trip thing. You just like never put the pieces together, really. You know, or just like never came together. I mean, yes, I could just book with somebody that actually knows what they're doing and just pay the man, right? That's one way to do it. But
you could probably get, you know, like you said, some of those places you learn, you almost kind of got to be prepared to invest, you know, be prepared for it to be a great time, whether you catch fish or not, like, and be prepared to maybe go back a few times. It might take your third trip, but if you look at the cost of, say, a more high-end, more luxurious lodging and travel and the charter, if you put all that together, and you know what? That's totally for a lot of people, but they don't need...
Absolutely.
You know, people that just write checks for that don't necessarily need this kind of inspirational conversation, really. Like they just do it probably, but like the people that,
but that's
the people
like totally that, not me.
Yeah, well, and you could probably afford yourself at least two, if not sometimes a third trip to that destination, you know, for that same amount of money, right, that we're talking about.
Oh, yeah.
And by the third time you've gone, you've grown as an angler, you've learned way more, you've really checked a lot of those boxes, those adventurous boxes that are just as important as the hook sets. And you know, by the time you get there, like, man, you've learned a lot. You've had a heck of a good time.
If at some point in like your, I don't know, I guess everyone's different, like in your, I'll call it angling career or whatever, right? Like you have these aspirations of like, man, I want to do these like wild trips or do whatever. And you're like working to that. I mean, I guess I tell people more of this on like the hunting side of things. Like I do quite a bit of like Western hunting, that type of thing. And like people are always like, oh man, I gotta like put in for all these preference points to do all this stuff. And once I get to like 10 points, I'm gonna do this wicked elk hunt or whatever, stuff like that. Right. It's kind of the similar thing. It's mm-hmm. like, but if you just wait and like wait till you saved up all this money to go on some wicked fishing trip or like this hunting trip, it's like, man, you could have been doing like all these like DIY trips for like way less, easier, getting more experience. Like, you know, you could do like, I guess it's easier like correlation on the hunting side, but it's like if you waited 10 years and you finally drew this like really hard to get like elk tag in Colorado or something, but you've never been elk hunting yet. And yeah. you're going to make that your like first go, when it was like, man, if you would have had 10 years of elk hunting experience around the same hunt, you'd probably blown the doors off it. You know what I mean?
100%, so it's like, man.
On some of these like cheaper fishing trips, like you're going there, you're learning a lot, and then maybe you get in a spot where you're like, man, let's blow some coin on a wicked one, and we already know how to do all this stuff. We have all the gear ready. Like, it's going to be dialed, you know?
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. Or you do save up for like 10 years, the pressure mounts, the expectations are so high.
Oh, yeah.
And it's so hard to live up to that. Like, you know, if you've been, you know, sleeping with that brochure under your pillow of like this dream place that you've been saving up all these years for, when you get there, if it doesn't just blow your head off, awesome. And it could be a weather situation or whatever. There's so many elements to where you just build it up too much. When, yeah, you could just be pecking away at these like super doable adventures all along, and you're going to, mm-hmm. you know, you're going to win some, you're going to lose some, but it's probably an easier expectation to meet when you know you're going on this DIY deal, you know, and listening to you talk about that is definitely a big part of this too. Like talking about how, you know, if you're going to go 3 days somewhere for the first time, you know, the first day or at least one of the days is going to be garbage. You'd almost just got to tell yourself yeah. that.
Just chalk it up.
Like. It gets you in the right mindset when you get there and it gets a little grindy, just, you know, you were expecting that. So it doesn't take the wind completely out of your sails. The trip ain't over. Like, you knew this was going to happen. Let's just take a breath. All right, look, there's that guy over there. He looks a little bit more dialed than I am. I'm going to just kind of put those puppy dog eyes on and go ask him for some information, you know? And it's like, man, you probably made some good friends that way, just randomly meeting people in the parking yeah. lot or at boat ramps. And
yep. Yeah, just buying somebody a beer goes a long way.
And people are going to see that too. They're going to see that effort too. They're going to be like, huh, you came here. You came all the way over here from where yeah. you're from? Oh, that's 10 hours away?
Yes.
Oh my gosh. You know, like, well, good for you, man. Like, no, nobody ever does it. Who are you staying with? Oh, you booked by yourself? Oh my gosh. You know, like, it's impressive to people when they see that kind of effort, especially out of young people too. I think, like, hopefully, you know, people are paying attention to that. I don't know. It's inspirational to me, even if only like one person listens to this conversation and gets anything out of it. I think yeah. it'll be 100% worth it, because I think that it's just the memories you make are invaluable.
So true, dude.
Yeah. I think that's a big part of it.
Yeah. It doesn't have to cost a ton, and it's like, just go and just do it and have a good time. And like I said, the stories are always unreal. I mean, some of the best ones I've had were ones where like the fishing wasn't even that good, or maybe we hit it good like one day, you know, or there for five, and like one day was unreal. The rest of them were just kind of like, whatever, you know,
yeah.
but it depends what you're doing. Like I'd do a weekend rip to Canada to go musky fishing, or, you know, drive to some random lake that's supposed to have a bunch of walleyes in it. Like, I don't know. You still got to figure it out when you get there, and every trip's different. Even to a body of water, you know, well, it's like, you still got to figure out what's going on, you know, but
yeah,
I think it just makes you like a more well-rounded angler too. Like, I don't know, like a lot of my friends are, they bass fish, like that's their primary thing. And every once in a while, you know, once a year they go do something different, and that's just not me. I mean, they're much better at bass fishing than I am, but like, I feel like there's also, you know, situations where having that like mixed up kind of experience really helps, you know, when you get some of these different fisheries and weird stuff's happening, and all of a sudden you're like, oh, this is kind of like when we were doing this totally different thing, and you can put those pieces together. Cause you know, it's still fishing at the end of the day. Like, there's still fish. They just, you know, different parts of the world, but they still do fish things. So that's the way I look at it.
You know, we're going along in this. One thing before we ended this at all, I told you coming into this, I was like, you're like my resident chef, man. You make cooking content. You've been doing it for years. You're definitely like, you're definitely a guy to know when it comes to cooking. You got great content, and we talked about it last time. And I don't ask any, like, people write into me all the time and want me to talk about cooking, or not me to talk about cooking, but like talk to people about cooking. It's just like a fun topic people want to hear about, but nobody will ever recommend, like, you know, who I'm supposed to have on, you know, Bobby Flay or whatever. So I just don't know anybody else to ask. You do the most cooking out of everybody I know that puts content out there. And so in the spirit of this conversation, it's fishing season, it's open water, it's summer, Midwest. What would be, before we sign this off, what would be a couple of like clutch summer fish recipes that you could throw at us a little bit, just to please some of my listeners that want me to talk more about cooking?
All right, fair enough. I did had a couple ready to rip here that I think I kind of consider them like home run, like easy to make, like for especially summer. Like these are the kind of things, like I feel like I get invited to a lot of places just because people know I'm going to bring food. So like, these are kind of some of like the things that's like, if I'm going somewhere, I'm showing up with like probably some of this stuff, but this is like, all right, my, like, this is kind of my like go-to like summer one. And I'll just burn through it. Like, I don't know how detailed people want to be about it, but
Well, keep in mind, you've got the stuff. I definitely want to start this off as like, we're talking about cooking. We don't have no video for anybody to watch, obviously. So however you go through, it's going to be great. But when this is all said and done, you know, we're going to definitely highlight where people can get your content too, to like watch you do more of this stuff. So yeah. Okay. Yeah. So go with that.
So, all right. So this one, like I said, go to summer. This is like premium summer action here. Is making ceviche. Okay. And I know it's very popular, but people are like, either don't know how to make it, or they get intimidated by it, or they're like, you got to have like some sort of saltwater fish to do this. You don't. So, people get weirded out using like freshwater fish and ceviche, 'cause they think it's like, you know, because you're not actually cooking it. But I kind of came up with my own recipe where you do cook it and it balls out pretty hard. So, basically you can use any like white flesh fish for this. So I do it a lot with like crappies, walleyes, that type of thing. Anything that you get, you get some solid fillets off of. Pretty much all you got to do is chunk it up into little like 1/4-inch cubes. You just take the whole fillet, mince it up pretty fine. And, I just get a pot of water boiling, salt it like you would if you're going to make pasta, and, just kill the heat as soon as the water stops boiling. I just drop all the fish into that salted water, let it sit in there for about 5 to 7 minutes. So it's essentially just like poaching the fish. And then as soon as it's done, I just use like a slotted spoon, scoop it all out of there, let it cool off. And so your fish is like pretty much cooked then. All you're doing then is mixing together the rest of the ceviche. So typically when you would make it, you'd use raw fish. You're using like acid to kind of like cook the fish in a way. So it's like a lot of lime juice. So this one, I just pretty much put tomatoes, cilantro, usually some like really thin sliced red onion in there, a couple serrano chilies just minced up really fine, and then four limes worth of juice. Just mix it all up, and unlike the other types of ceviche where you kind of have to let it marinate for a while, as soon as you mix this one together, it is ready to eat. And I just like on. Sometimes I'll throw this together in like a gallon Ziploc bag, chuck it in the cooler, and have it in the boat with a bag of chips and just crush it, you know, out on the sandbar or whatever, just hanging out. But it comes together really fast. Like I said, it basically takes like 5, maybe 7 minutes to cook it totally. And then you just mixing everything together like a big bowl of salsa. But it's good on like tostadas, stuff like that. Slice up a couple avocados. Super like refreshing, light kind of appetizer type thing that I have yet to meet anyone that doesn't like it. So if you're looking for something like that to take to a party or whatever, that's like absolute home run in the summertime.
That almost kind of gives you that vacation vibe. It go good with the Corona, like might bring you to a different place too. That's a great one.
Yeah. Loaded up with cilantro, all that fresh lime juice. You can't go wrong.
Yeah, dude. Any other good ones?
I guess the other one that's like always good, because it's like, I like, if I'm going, especially to like a party or on a trip or something that I can like make like 50% of the way ahead of time. And then I'll have to usually kind of like put it together when I get somewhere. But, I've been making these like fish jalapeno poppers that are just unreal. And I would say that would probably be my other one to just do, where you can make the filling like ahead of time, just put it in like a container. All you gotta do is bring some jalapenos and slice them open and fill them up, throw them on the grill or in the oven. So that one, all I do is I just bake the fish first. So it's like, again, like fully cooked fish, just season it up, throw it in a, like a pan in the oven, bake it with a little butter or oil in there. And then just mix it with like one block of cream cheese, like quarter cup sour cream, and then just season it kind of however you like. I usually do like garlic powder, salt and pepper, maybe about a half a cup of like sharp cheddar cheese in there. Mix it up and then just have some extra shredded cheese to put on top. So I'll just get somewhere and slice the jalapenos open, just cut the like the middle out with the seeds and the membrane and everything, and just pack them full of that filling, lay them on a little pan, and sprinkle the rest of the cheese on top. And you can bake them, grill them, do whatever you want. All you're trying to do is get the peppers to be soft. But yeah, they work in the oven, grill, smoker, whatever you got. Throw them in there for probably like half hour, no problem at all. And like I've never made them and not had the whole pan just get crushed. So I would say that one also well worth anybody's time to do. But they're super easy. You don't actually, the nice thing about both of those recipes is you don't have to have a ton of fish. It's not like if you're doing a fish fry, we're like, oh man, we got to have, you know, 20 walleyes to make this work. Like it's got so much other stuff mixed into it and together that, you know, you can pull off a food for, you know, a whole party with maybe, you know, six fish or so. So that's what I would recommend.
Where can people find your content, your fishing stuff, or your cooking stuff, or anything that you want to promote, anybody that you want to shout out or throw out there, man, now's the time. Go ahead.
Yeah. I mean, I guess follow me on Instagram and Facebook are definitely my two most like active social media pages. I post a lot of cooking and like just adventure, I guess, type content on both of those. I do have a YouTube channel as well that does have some of that content. Hopefully that, I think I say this to everybody every time I talk to anyone. I swear it will be growing soon. I'm actively trying to create more stuff for that, but there is some really cool fishing, hunting, and like cooking adventure type content. It's kind of the angle I've been taking now is kind of this, like, I call it like adventure cooking. So, you know, some type of trip associated with like making food. And so there's some of that on there. Like I said, my Instagram's loaded with it. So and all of them are just my name, Brian Pinkala. So that's at, you know, Instagram, Facebook, and on YouTube. Pretty easy to find. Definitely my DMs are always open. People got questions about cooking or any type of trip they're trying to go on and they want to chat about it. I'm definitely interested in talking to anybody anytime about that kind of thing. So hit me up there. You know, I know when we talked last time, the Crappie Chronicles is kind of a big part of what I do in the wintertime. And, you know, I encourage people to check that out, and there'll be more of that coming. So, you know, check that out on YouTube as well. But I try to kind of, I got my finger in a lot of things right now. So just expect to maybe see some more things popping up with my name on it.
Right on, dude. Always, yeah. Always, man. Well, that's it, dude. That's it. That's how we'll sign it off.